Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network. For the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews, press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Box Office Breakdown. Information and commentary on weekly movie box office.
Where in the world is Sarah Stratton? She's back in America.
Yeah, she is back in
for
America.
Now.
She's
for
back
the
in
week,
America looking
week.
Fantastic as usual.
Oh, she actually kind of looks like Carmen Sinigo. She had the trench coat and the hat.
Yeah.
Put the hair up. I mean,
oh, she could. She's
I'll work Halloween, on that for Halloween.
This has got to be Halloween. It's got to be Carmen Sinigo.
We will see.
She's
well,
undetermined origin.
Everyone, let me do my intro. Right, welcome back to Box Office Breakdown on the Popcorn Talk Network. I'm so happy to be back. I was doing a little bit of traveling. And I left these guys with some tasks, which you failed at.
What was the task?
Creeping through your window?
No. A while ago, we had a challenge.
Okay.
Which of us could get the most correct predictions for the box office numbers. Mm-hmm. We really haven't been keeping tally very well.
No, we haven't.
And you were supposed to figure it out while I was gone.
Yeah, we're going to commission one of the admins to take a look at it.
Looking at
probably,
you, Dylan.
Probably Mr. Esposito.
Okay. Well, before we get into the numbers, I have stolen JT's phone because he has the list of winners. So we want to talk about this real quick. Winners from last week on Facebook are, I think I can pronounce this one.
Okay.
Yeah. Matt
we have the hardest
Beer.
Names.
Matt Beer.
Beer.
I think I
beer?
Got that one. It's
Beer.
B-E-E-R.
That's a great name.
As a drink, yeah.
Yeah, watch. He's going to tell us that I'm wrong. But yeah. I'm going to pronounce it Matt Beer.
It's Bear.
Brandon Cody and Nick Boschan. In addition, Andreas... This is the one I'm... Nah. Dombrowski guessed within 3 million of what Age of Ultron would make.
That's pretty damn good.
So, good job, guys.
Was the last one Dombrowski? Degrassi?
Dombrowski?
Oh, Dombrowski. Yeah.
Dombrowski?
Oh, yeah, Jimmy Dombrowski.
Andreas Dombrowski.
His dad's Jimmy.
So, good job, guys. Correct guesses. You are the winners. Yeah. Thank you for letting me have your phone.
No problem.
JTE.
Thanks to Dylan for messaging me and helping us out.
So what's up? I heard you seen or saw Age of Ultron in London.
I did see Age of Ultron in London.
Wow,
I was part of the giant overseas boom for that movie. I kind of feel bad for them. Their theaters are not up to par.
Oh, London?
I was in London in one of their big brand theaters. First of all, they have an aisle that goes straight down the middle, so no one can sit in a middle seat, which is annoying. Second of all, it's a tiny screen.
Oh,
tiny.
Does it feel like old school?
It feels like a dated theater that we have.
Is it like two people holding a white sheet and candles?
It's not quite that.
Behind the pictures?
But it was very, I was watching that movie and I was I miss. We have these huge theaters here where you have the sound that's pretty much blowing out your eardrums
in
your luxury reclining seats. And I realize how spoiled I've been.
I like to hear about that because I always want to know what different countries' movie theater experiences are like. I hear London, is it quiet? Do people cheer? I hear it's very reserved compared
to
America.
In that part of Europe, nobody likes to go to the theaters. They go to bars and have
sex.
Well,
that's not true because I was in a theater that was pretty much sold out.
Oh, really?
And their tickets are £16, which is $20 a ticket for not even 3D.
Wow.
So they're more expensive than the ones are here. And they're not getting as great, in my opinion, of a theater as we have.
Is it normal recliner type seats or is it little tables with chairs
It's
with tea
what I
and
would have expected to go into a theater six years ago.
Wow.
And they serve tea?
No.
In the theater?
Crumpets.
No?
But they do serve Ben and Jerry's,
Ben and Jerry's? That's pretty awesome.
You didn't dive into that, did you?
I always eat Ben and Jerry's.
Oh, okay.
Why
did you say don't dive into it?
No, I said I don't know if she dove into ice cream or not.
Okay.
She was an ice cream eater.
Okay, well, anyway, let's get into our numbers for this past weekend.
What about Bosnia-Herzegovina? You were there too, right?
I drove a little bit through Bosnia.
How did you play over there? How did you play for the...
I was in Bosnia for 15 minutes.
It's a long night.
Is it nice? I feel like they're always...
The part I was in was beautiful.
I know nothing about Bosnia, but I feel like they're at war.
Yeah. You get
no.
It just has that kind of name where it's Bosnia's at war.
That's offensive.
No, I'm just saying.
Well, they're great over there.
You guys, numbers.
Yeah.
The whole point of this show.
Yeah, sorry.
Let's start with number 5 on this list. Hanging in there. I thought I was going to... stay out of the country for long enough not to have to talk about this again. But Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2. Yay. Mm-hmm. $5.1 million. Cool. Great. Furious 7. Universal bringing in even more money with $5.2 million. Age of Adeline, which I actually did see. It's not that great, so if you haven't seen it yet, see something else. Lionsgate film brought in $5.6 million. That's just a down 10% drop. And then number two, its debut week, Hot Pursuit, brought in $13 million. I feel like this movie has been, like, putting on the press shoes. It's been everywhere. We've seen interviews like crazy. But it's just not... I just don't think it's overcoming the fact that people already think it's... think it's going to be horrible. I feel like there's so little faith in this movie.
It's terrible.
The reviews have been...
We said it last week, we tore it apart. Yeah. And then Schmoes tore it apart.
Oh, the Schmoes tore it apart.
Zero.
Mark,
has 6 on Rotten Tomatoes, I think.
Is it really? It's at 6%?
It's at 6%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
1% lower than Paul Blart Mall Cop 2. It's a 2 back-to-back comedies in very low territory on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's unfortunate. I love both the actresses in this film. And it's just sad that I don't even want to see it. Ugh, unfortunate. All right, number one, staying up there. Mm-hmm. The Avengers Age of Ultron brought in $77 million this week.
I mean, that's
a drop, but that's so much money.
Minus 60.
It's not terrible by any means, but not like, you know, that earth-shattering record-breaking they were going for, that cult phenomenon, like where it's like, holy shit, this is going to bust every record in the world.
I can't say anything negative about it. It's still $77 million.
It's a blockbuster. It's a life-size blockbuster.
For most movies, that is a fantastic opening weekend.
Oh, my God.
If you get that opening weekend, people are like, this is the hit. This, you normally are, that's crazy to me.
It's still the second biggest opening weekend ever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy.
And
but
it's only losing to its... predecessor.
Well, let me. We talked a little bit about the movie last week. I liked the movie a lot. I was a little disappointed when I left leaving the theater. I couldn't help but feeling a little disappointed. You have not seen it yet, right?
No, I'm not going
to
see it.
I'm curious to hear. Well, I'm curious to hear what your take on the movie is. How did you feel stacked up to the first one?
I was just happy that in this movie.
I was just happy. Yeah. Okay.
No, that they
to be
took
in London in a theater watching.
What I like about Age of Ultron. First of all, is that I saw this with my whole family, and despite the fact that they don't watch Marvel movies on repeat, they've seen probably each of them once, and it was the time they were in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not getting all the Easter eggs, they're not getting the references, they're just going to see this one movie and hopefully it stands up.
Sure.
And all of them liked it.
Okay.
Which to me is really impressive, because this is the 11th? Marvel franchise,
something along those lines.
And so the fact that you have people who can still come in and enjoy it just for the movie that it is, that's impressive. Mm-hmm. That you don't have so, like, there was a movie that came out last year, and there were so many, like, Easter egg lines that it made the script actually not make sense if you didn't know what they were talking about.
Right.
And these didn't feel that way. On top of that, I didn't feel like we had the Transformers loop where it's like, okay, let's just create a bigger battle, because that's all these movies are for. Mm-hmm. And Transformers, all those movies are just like, let's add more special effects. Let's make something bigger. This one, at least they tried to do some character development. I learned something about each of the characters.
Listen, Transformers is not in the same league as this movie. That thing is just garbage.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think this movie is a good blockbuster popcorn movie. I could see. I don't think anyone
it's not
should
a phenomenon.
Yeah, no one should walk out of this movie not liking it. I think it's hard to imagine somebody just not like straight out not liking this movie, because it's so entertaining. But there are a lot of plot holes, and there's a few things in the movies that I feel like we talked about this last week. They're saying there's gonna be a 3 hours director's cut on Blu-ray. I feel like a lot of the problems I have with this movie can be fixed.
Probably.
With some of the scenes. Even, I mean, you see Josh Whedon on the press tour? The guy is not exactly happy with this movie. It's easy to read that he could tell that he left some stuff on the editing floor. There's stuff in the movie he didn't want in the movie.
They were doing reshoots up until 3 weeks before the movie was released.
True, but Marvel does that all the time.
What's your biggest negative about it? Because I have some qualms.
My biggest negative is, I guess, number one is Ultron to me was not a very good villain.
Sorry for spoilers, guys.
Yeah, he wasn't fleshed out. Anytime he was on screen, I never felt like the Avengers were in any danger.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then we agree. Because for me, the problem was when I was most worried happened probably a third to halfway through the movie versus at the end.
Yeah.
Like in this type of movie, you are supposed to build. This isn't a complete character arcing story where you have the climax in the beginning. It should be happening at the end of the second act. And this, to me, was happening either halfway through or at the beginning of the second act, which was with the whole, when we had what ended up being Vision's body being created. That, to me, was the scariest point. That was when they had the most at risk.
Yeah.
And so then it just kept, they just felt safe towards the end. We knew that they were surviving.
Isn't this like a filler movie in a way?
I want to say filler, no. I mean, there's, I think the stuff that does feel a little bit filler is pushed in by Marvel to set up some of the future films.
Yeah, the setup, yeah.
But you could see the struggle while you're watching a movie. It's almost you could just see Marvel and Whedon pulling tug of war. I need this. Oh, you need to have that. And because of that, certain things in the movie don't come fruition that they set up in the beginning. There's things in the beginning that is set up where I'm like, oh, this is going to pay off, and it never comes to fruition.
But he was very smart in how he made this movie and how he used the characters of Scarlet Witch. Like, that I thought was really smart.
Well, I thought it was great. And I said this on Thursday's Schmoes on Show, because we did kind of like a spoiler review. There's this great moment that Scarlet Witch and Aaron Johnson's Quicksilver say, we sat in a rubble for 2 weeks or 2 days waiting for Tony Stark to kill us, because it was like one of his bombs that didn't go off. And I thought to myself, there's going to be a great confrontation between these twins and Tony Stark at some point in this movie.
Oh, of course.
And that never happened.
It's a little strange that they never... Oh, you wanted it in this movie.
They'll probably see it again.
Something should have happened. Nothing of that, that... You had this great scene setting up something that could come to fruition later in a movie, and it's just never addressed.
Yeah, well, also something Marvel has to work on is the cost of life, which they don't seem no one really cares about.
They did okay.
My thing is, Marvel's villains just... They aren't the best. DC has way better villains.
Yeah, totally agree.
I mean, you got the Joker. I mean, you got all these other great characters that they can play off of. You know?
When Joker
Marvel
and Bane...
Universe, the,
Yeah, Joker and Bane are on screen in those Batman movies. You don't know what the hell's going to happen.
No.
Anytime Joker showed up, you're like, shit is going down. Anytime Bane came up, you're like, this guy's about to wreck house.
Then, you know, you got Riddlers. You got just...
Ultron.
I'm a huge Loki fan, so...
I'm a huge Loki fan, too.
He's good.
Yeah, he's the one guy they got.
Okay.
Yeah. Other than that, they're made-up villains.
But, well, let's talk about the numbers.
I was going to say, we just spent another... 10 minutes talking about Avengers.
Hot Pursuit.
If you haven't heard enough about this movie.
So it did drop 60%. I mean, that's going to happen every time you open that big from the first weekend.
It's right on par.
It's right on par.
If it would have did 200, then it would have made 90. That would have still been a 60% drop.
True. I'm
same thing.
Really curious to see how it's going to drop this week.
Agreed.
Especially with some of the movies are coming
out and competing markets. It's going to be interesting. Obviously, Hot Pursuit's going to drop like crazy.
How much is that movie going to drop?
I predict 13. That's exactly what it made.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. You did say 13. I was a little more optimistic. I was like, maybe closer to 20.
Warner.
Because it's counter programming Avengers.
It's Warner. You said 20. I was like, you're crazy.
I don't know. I was like, well, who did you figure was seeing Hot Pursuit versus like Age of Adeline?
Every girl.
I
disagree.
You know who seen it or saw it? The people in little South towns.
I feel like you're more likely that's where
audiences.
I don't know. I saw Age of Adeline this weekend as well, and I went there with my mom for Mother's Day, and it was her pick.
Yes.
And like Hot Pursuit was brought up, and we didn't even know. No. She made me go
what
to Age of Adeline.
Paul Blart, Mall Cop
versus Hot Pursuit.
No, that was that. Their mom said, "Hey, you know, sweetie, I want to go see Paul Blart." I mean, what are you going to say?
It's
no on Mother's Day?
I would have thrown the car keys in the toilet.
You're like, you know, Mom, I think the movie theater's closed today, Mom. I don't know what you're talking about.
What is happening?
Here's the thing. Hot Pursuit, you do have two pretty... Well, one bankable star who was nominated for Oscar last year and has done these kind of comedies.
She's not A-list anymore, though.
But she's close. And then Sofia Vergara... I mean,
yes.
She's
not.
TV.
I guess she's not really a pull, but she's that Modern Family pull. So
she's A-list TV.
This is gonna be treading on maybe some hot water. But the thing is, this is a female comedy that they used really well-known actresses that women love. But if you're putting that again, there doesn't seem to be too much of a love story. This Age of Adeline on a weekend like that has more pull because there is the whole love scheme involved.
So you think of the love story, because I mean, I saw the trailer for this, like, they're trying to do The Heat, but
correct,
with two different actresses.
Correct.
Which is a good movie, and that movie opened pretty well. So I don't think a love story necessarily has to be in there for it to do good.
No, but it will normally do better
in
the women market, I would say.
Yeah. You should have gave us a hard R and Chicks Naked. Even Naked.
Sylvia Gar.
Yeah.
The thing I will say, though, like, it did hit 13 million, and 3, 4, and 5 are literally all at like 5 point something.
Yeah.
So these were the two movies that made all the money. Everything else was just
weren't even the two movies that made all the money.
Well, Avengers made all the money. Yeah. But
by far.
Yeah, Hot Pursuit probably did get a lot of Mother's Day crowd.
That's what I'm saying. That had to help, right?
Yeah. And it definitely
is counter-programming, too.
Well, it didn't help the D-Train.
Oh, did I even open top 10?
No.
Oh, but it was limited, right?
No, it had 1,000 theaters.
Wow.
And only made like 400 and change. I mean, Jack Black, he's not opening movies anymore.
Yeah.
Neither is James Marsden.
Gulliver's Travel.
He's got to be a supporting
well,
actor.
Well, before we move on to international numbers and such, let's get a couple of throwouts also to Ex Machina, which I finally saw and is fantastic.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. You liked it.
Love
totally
it.
Great movie.
That is going up. It came up to the sixth spot. I wish so bad that it had taken number 5.
Yeah, I know.
It was so close. It went up 52%. It was at $3.4 million.
The studio's pushing that a lot more, too. Like, I'm seeing way more trailers,
it's
commercials
solid,
now
film.
Than when it first came out.
I saw it on the plane because it was under.
What?
It was under Virgin Atlantic Loves.
Yes.
Really?
It was like one of their featured ones.
They do that kind of stuff.
In their plan fits? Yeah.
That's great.
No, they want people to see this movie. It's good.
Also, Woman in Gold getting the 8th spot, going up 3%. Weinstein, 1.6 million. Also, probably bringing in a couple moms for
Day.
Mother's
Absolutely.
Day.
That was
definitely my mom's whole book club went. You know.
Really?
The normal.
And Maggie, nobody's seen that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Maggie didn't even crack. But,
well, it's only in 79 theaters. Oh, it's just proven like nobody wants to see Schwarzenegger anymore. He just doesn't have it unless it's Terminator or Expendables.
From what I hear, he doesn't give a bad performance. It's just not a good movie.
I heard it's really,
but
really.
Although dark.
I did see him on my international TV.
Really?
He was in. He's in the intro for some of the theaters. They have like this weird thing.
Did they say
and
the Devil Man?
Into.
Did they call him Devil?
He does his normal screaming scene where he like screams at something and does his hands really big.
Okay.
Kind of looks like the Hulk.
Yeah, he probably gets paid $5 zillion.
Exactly. So that's what he's doing when he's not doing movies like Maggie. All right, let's get into our international numbers. More on Age of Ultron, because you can't get enough, is holding up impressively, hauling in $65 million, which is crossing the $562 million for foreign, with a worldwide total of $875.3 million.
Mama mia.
So we're getting closer to that $1 billion mark.
Well, it'll do it once May 12th hits.
Oh, are you talking about because Japan and China?
Yep.
Oh, wait, it hasn't hit China yet.
The burgeoning, behemoth.
So wait a minute.
We're at 875.
It's almost at 900 million has yet to hit China.
Exactly.
And that's a guaranteed 200 to 300 million.
In one day.
It's getting to the $1 billion mark.
It might make 100 million in one day. Fast and the Furious 7 did 60.
It's opening on a Tuesday, though.
Ah, that's like a weekend over there.
No, it's opening on a Tuesday.
They work 7 days a week.
They don't even have days. It's just like they just get up. That's it.
China does not have weekends. They work 7 days a week.
There's no Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Well, we will be definitely talking.
It
goes work day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Wonderful. We are going to be talking a lot more about Avengers next weekend because of those numbers, so I don't want to spend too much time on it. Other things that we're going to talk about is how it's going to replace Harry Potter and the Deathly Hall is where it's moving up in that chart, but I kind of feel like we should leave it till next week because that's when our bigger numbers are really going to come in.
I mean, listen.
Yes, absolutely.
It's Fast. I'm really curious because I think Fast is at $1.3 billion right now.
$1.5
billion. Mm-hmm. I think Avengers right now is on track to outpace it.
It will.
I think it will because it's already at almost $1 billion.
Well, because they're going to do the same amount. Avengers will win domestically. By probably another, probably over 100.
Okay.
So, you know, you'll see the same amount, if not a little more foreign for Avengers.
Well, because I think May doesn't have a lot. I mean,
what are you about to say?
Is there anything?
What are you about to say?
And is there anything coming out in May that really could compete with Avengers?
Internationally? No.
Mad
Max, no.
San Andreas.
Pitch Perfect, no. San Andreas, no.
I don't.
Tomorrowland, maybe.
I mean, tomorrow. I mean.
No.
Mad Max will probably have the legs that Kingsman
nothing
has, though, but it's not going to compete in the numbers.
Correct.
Some
Avengers
of those movies are going to do good, but they don't have the built-in franchise.
No.
Nothing is close this month to Avengers, so I think Avengers is going to just clean up this whole all of May, and then June it'll start taking some hits once the bigger movies come out.
All right, so we will talk more about the international numbers next week, and let's instead move on to our game.
Yes, hit
Please.
It.
Or not. Or
Hold
no
on.
Game.
It's coming.
Or you
break out the Rosetta Stone, because it's time for the international title
game. Really dug it, too.
Gracias, compañero. Gracias,
al esfuerzo y al heroísmo de una revolución, no lo queremos.
wonderful.
I almost vocally yelled it out that time. I felt it from an inner deep of me.
You know,
I
wanted to yell Japanese. If you yell, I will throw something on you.
Which one is your favorite? I like his Castro. And he's like,
because I'm making a point. I do like the favorite.
It kind of, well, in my head, I think of him as I'm making pizza.
Yeah.
Yes. And,
yeah,
I kind of ignore it.
Yeah, it's a little spicy meatball.
So you gave us a little hint about what these are about today.
So I geared these towards something I was really upset about last week.
What was that?
Natalie Portman, who I like, but I don't like anymore now.
What?
She says, like, she gave an interview. She's like, yeah, I don't even know where my Oscar is. Yeah, it's like hidden away in a safe or something with, like, dust on it.
What?
Yeah. She's like, I haven't seen it in a while. And this is her quote. I don't know where it is. I think it's in the safe or something. I don't know. I haven't seen it in a while. I mean, Darren, obviously she means Aronofsky, actually said to me something when we were in that whole thing that resonated so deeply. I was reading the story of Abraham to my child and talking about, like, not worshiping.
This is the longest quote
idols.
Ever.
And this, it's like they're worshiping little gold men. She's like, I don't really even care where it is. Then stop acting. Like, you're,
I completely disagree. That's not fair.
You're there to get an Oscar, right?
No.
You want to get the accolades. I want them. My Oscar would be right on my mantle if I had one.
Congratulations. But I don't think you can wrong someone for saying that they just love doing what they're doing despite any type of acknowledgement for it.
But worshiping false idols, give me a break.
I mean, Joe Namath never takes a Super Bowl ring off.
No, he never does. I know people who don't do it either.
Look, everyone has their own thing. Also, like, Charlize Theron, like, keeps her, like, Oscar in her bathroom where she keeps, like, her Victoria's Secret trophies
well,
on
fine.
Her desk.
You know where,
like,
at least you
know
where
everyone has their own
you know where
priorities.
Sean Penn keeps his Oscars?
Where?
Right next to the condoms. Okay, that being said.
All I'm saying is I don't think it's something... I don't think it'd be... I would rather deal with an actor who's like, oh, I'm happy I got an Oscar. I don't know where it is. Yeah. Versus the one who's like, these are my Oscars and I'm going to put them on the mantle for everyone to stare at them every single time they walk in.
About that.
I think you kind of want to be treated like a normal person.
Yeah, but she's not normal. Now she's reading her child, like, books of Abraham and she's married to some ballet
dancer.
What's
the difference between all the actors who also then, like, keep their kids away from, like, magazines and watching their own movies?
Well, that's totally fine, but an Oscar's an Oscar. That's a big one. I mean, yeah, if you win an Emmy, yeah, who cares where it's at?
I'm not saying you have to flaunt it, but to be like, I don't even know where it is. Like, it's in the
it's in a box.
In your garage, somewhere buried.
Ridiculous.
I don't know. I don't blame her.
I still got my trophy from, like, my 9-year-old Little League championship right on my mantelpiece until I get something better than that. Anyway, that being
said, there are certain things that are more important than statues. It's called family.
Okay.
Fair. Anyway.
Okay. Either way.
Now that we've had this debate, please get into our game.
Yeah. Okay.
Get into the game.
Okay. So, all from China. All Natalie Portman movies.
Amazing.
Mr. Megorian's Wonder Emporium.
Oh, the Dustin Hoffman movie.
Yeah.
I always get that confused with the Mr. Fox one.
Magic.
Fantastic Mr. Fox. Really? Okay.
Magic.
I don't know.
Magic Toy Town.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Magic Toy Town.
Zoolander.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Supermodel Spy.
Okay.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Zoolander, super.
What is she in that?
She's in it.
Ben Stiller? Natalie, oh, yes, she has a very...
She's a cameo.
Cameo.
Oh, okay. I was like, when is she in that movie?
She plays Owen Wilson.
She thought she got the
and
Oscar.
That was her Oscar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Black Swan.
Oh, the Oscar winner.
Mm-hmm.
Powder-Faced Dancer.
Oh, that's
she won, like,
right.
Every award for that, too.
Yeah,
she won, like, BAFTA, Golden Globe, everything.
Yeah, and they're all... She doesn't have them anymore. They're all hidden somewhere. Anywhere But Here. Tube... To the Pacific.
Wait. Anywhere But Here.
I'm going to need these all repeated.
Say it. Tube?
Tube. Like tube.
Like fallopian?
Like test tube. Yeah, like fallopian tube.
I'm going to wait, are we picking the true one or the false one?
I'm picking the false one.
False one.
All right, so I'll repeat them all
over Mr. Megorian's Wonder Emporium.
Okay.
Which was, I think, was Heath Ledger's last movie or something.
Okay.
Magic Toy Town.
No, that wasn't Heath Ledger's movie, but keep going.
Yes, it was.
You're thinking of the Terry Gilliam
film. Oh, yeah, Mr. Dr. Pernalosis or whatever. Yeah. Zoolander, Supermodel Spy.
Okay.
Black Swan, Powder-Faced Dancer.
Okay.
Anywhere But Here, Tube to the Pacific.
I don't understand Tube to the Pacific.
I gotta go with number 3. I'm gonna go Black Swan on this one, Powder-Faced Dancer.
She did have a powder face.
I know, but I just don't think and that's how
they do that kind of geisha stuff over there. Oh, but not, well, not
that's Japan.
Japan. That's the same thing.
Let's ask the engineer. What do you got here, man? Because I have no idea.
I say Black Swan.
Yeah, okay. Oh, we're both, me and the engineer are on the same page here.
Oh, wow, okay.
I'm gonna learn Dare to be different.
What do you think it's there?
So much more entertaining when people pick different things. Black Swan? No, I'm going to pick the last one because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Test tube to the Pacific.
I don't understand.
What is it?
Some girl I know was the first test tube baby in Florida ever. You guys are right, Black Swan.
Yes.
Powder face dancer.
Killed it. Two in a row.
She did have a powder face.
She did.
She was a dancer.
Yeah. I mean, I just couldn't equate powder face with dancing.
What about tube to the Pacific?
I still don't get that.
I guess it's like, you know, there's somewhere, anywhere but here, she could, like, they think, like, hey, there's, like, a tube under America that goes right to China.
I don't get it. I didn't get that. It's a horrible title, whoever wrote that.
I went a different direction with that one.
Congratulations, JT and the engineer.
Yeah, that's 2 weeks in a row I got it. Yeah. I think I hit, like, 3 or 4 in a week once.
You did.
Well, we would know if you guys had done your job and looked into these things.
Yeah, you should go to Vegas.
Unfortunately, you didn't. Vegas. All right, anyway, now let's get into our top 5 list of the week. Today we're going to be talking about top 5 grossing Reese Witherspoon movies. So she's been in the acting game for a while. I think she, started modeling when she was, like, 7.
Oh, she modeled first?
I think she did some catalogs or something. Yeah. And then she got her first lead role on an extra call.
Okay. She was the baby in Nirvana. She was the baby on the Nirvana album.
That's a lie. Don't listen to him.
That's a boy.
Not true.
Yeah, same thing.
No, but she did start young and she's been in tons of stuff. So let's get into her list.
Fear is my favorite movie of hers.
Which one?
Fear with Mark Wahlberg.
Oh yeah, Fear of Mark Wahlberg. Yeah, the roller coaster.
My favorite movie of hers is.
She's good enough.
I just saw Wild.
I'll tell you right now, mine's on this list, so we'll get to it.
Oh wow.
Okay, number Sweet 5 is it this one? Because this one's not mine. 4 Christmases came out in 2008. Horrible. Made like $135 million.
Something.
Yeah. The funny thing about this is apparently Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon hate each other.
Yeah, he hit her in the head with. He paid a PA. During the fight scene when they were throwing dishes and stuff, the PA's like, hit her with it. Hit her and hit her in the head. She got 5 stitches, delayed production by 3 days. And that's why they hated each other after that.
What? Really?
Yeah, that's serious.
Maybe he just meant it as a joke. Maybe it was something that was misunderstood.
Yeah, I don't think he meant to hit her in the face.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I saw this movie and I almost walked out of theater.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's just not funny. The only decent thing...
Don't they play it on TV all the time?
It's on all the time. The only thing decent about it is there's some good cameos. Jon Favreau has like a small scene with Vince. And anytime Vince and Jon Favreau are together,
the banter's usually good.
Yeah. So besides that though, it just felt like a tired... even though it's kind of a new idea, it felt... So, like something I've just seen 100 times before.
Well,
like
you know what though? There's a whole crowd of people who love movies. They know how it's gonna end and they know what it's about.
It's Christmas
and
it's just related.
How you put on family, and that's why they keep making them.
I feel like this was
and
a
guess what?
Group
because
movie.
It makes it on the list.
It
of top 5.
And it did. $135 is a lot of money.
It made its money. I mean, I went and saw it.
Well, Seth Gordon directed it. He directed The King of Kong. King which is, the doc was the best, but then
great
he went
movie.
Into features and
he's been doing horrible since.
All right. Well, Reese Witherspoon. This to me is the film that made her an
A-lister.
A-lister.
This is
Legally Blonde. $138 million, so just above 4 Christmases. But what? This launched sequels. This maybe I think it might have launched a third. It launched a musical. It's still quoted. And it really just cemented her as like this is one of the movies of hers you can watch over and over again. It doesn't feel that dated.
Never saw.
This is the one that got her.
You
to $20
never
million.
Saw it.
Never saw Legally Blonde. Is that a bad thing? Is that horrible?
I've seen it Illegally Blonde.
What did I say?
No,
I said
it.
Legally
that's
Blonde.
That's the one I saw. Illegally Blonde.
Legally Blonde. That's a different movie.
That's a different movie.
So she plays what, like a lawyer?
It's like the blonde sorority girl ends up going to Harvard.
It's kind of like the House Bunny, but with
but
a lawyer. Remember that
better.
Movie with Anna Faris?
I'm going to say it's better.
Okay. Well, I'm not saying that.
It's funny. It's the blonde sorority girl who ends up at Harvard and then somehow saves the day, but actually
she's stupid, but she's really smart. And
so basically, Paris Hilton was trying to be a lawyer.
No. I'm also going to say no to that.
No. Well, Owen, little fact about that. Owen Wilson and Luke Wilson were supposed to play the brothers in Ocean's 11.
Oh, yeah. I remember you telling me that before.
They,
Luke Wilson's in this movie.
Yes, it's Luke Wilson and
Yeah.
Coulson's the love interest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right.
But Owen, him and Owen Wilson were supposed to play the brothers that Scott Kahn and Casey Affleck played in
Ocean's
11.
You know, that story does not have anything to do really with all of us.
Yeah, Owen Wilson's in, I mean, Luke Wilson's in the movie.
So instead, we're going to move on to number three, which is Walk the Line at $150 million.
This is definitely not the one JT
likes. This is my favorite movie. Oh,
okay. Really?
I love Walk the Line. It came out the year after Ray. And mm-hmm. I think because of that, and Ray won all the Oscars for, like, Jamie Foxx and was nominated for everything. Mm-hmm. Walk the Line was nominated for a couple.
Yeah.
And even Reese won. She won for this movie. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a way better movie than Ray, in my opinion.
I do too.
And I think the only reason why I didn't get more Oscar love is because it was coming off the year after Ray, and people were like, mm-hmm. that already came past.
Mm-hmm. This movie always feels a little bit long to me when I watch it. Yeah, I don't know. I always find myself, like, doing other things as I watch this movie. I applaud them because both of them learned their instruments.
Yes, they did.
They learned to sing. They sing the whole time.
It's actually
unbelievable.
Great.
And I just always feels a little bit slow to me when I watch it.
Wow, it's interesting. I saw this. I loved it. I'm a Johnny Cash fan. Who isn't?
Yeah.
And I think Joaquin, I'm not sure who won that year, but he definitely deserved to get nominated like he did.
It wasn't Joaquin. Somebody else won. I forget who it was.
Yeah, Joaquin didn't win, but I'm glad he got nominated.
Well, he was so involved in the character.
Unless did he not get nominated?
Well, he was doing drugs.
He had to be nominated.
Every scene that called for, like, drugs and drinking, he was doing that. Like, he became that person. And then immediately after production ended, he was hospitalized. For like rehab and
bad.
Because he just
shouldn't do that.
Yeah,
all right.
Great movie though, guys. If you haven't seen Walk the Line, it is my favorite biopic of a musician.
Wonderful.
That's
all right. Number two, coming out in 2002, just a year after Legally Blonde, Sweet Home Alabama brought in $177 million.
This was early in her career too, 2002?
This was coming out.
It's not early in her career.
This was right after Legally Blonde.
Right after Legally Blonde.
Okay, so kind of
this is one because she was in Cruel Intentions.
Yep.
She was in the one that takes place in high school. Not Candidate. Campaign.
Yes. Election.
Thank you. Like something.
God, that's the one. It's probably my second favorite movie of hers.
Yeah. She has some really good movies. But Sweet Home Alabama just cemented kind of her place as America's sweetheart.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Definitely had that Southern charm, romance to it. Mm-hmm. And also took over TV for a while. I feel like a lot of her movies have a couple of years where they're just playing nonstop.
They sell right to TNT and TBS.
Yeah. Sweet Home Alabama, there was like 4 years where I swear you could watch it every weekend.
That's the role that Patrick Dempsey was able to get Grey's Anatomy off of.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Oh, Patrick Dempsey? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never saw Sweet Home Alabama.
He married it. When he was 21, he did Can't Buy Me Love. He married a 48-year-old manager.
I can explain the plot to you really quick.
Girl meets guy, doesn't want
girl
to fall
meets
right
guy
away,
in high
does?
School, oh, okay. Breaks up, girl meets second guy, girl has to gets back together with guy from high school.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
You know.
Patrick Dempsey's a championship juggler.
I just feel like for these shows we should hook you up to a lie detector test. That way I don't have to spend the time figuring it out. I can just kind of look over and it's like
he went to Klein College too.
No.
He went to Klein College. He didn't graduate though. They're like, your hair is too good.
Number one.
Here's too good.
Yeah, you gotta get out of here.
And the first movie on this list taking her top spot, which I kind of sometimes feel like this is a disappointment when you have all these movies that have such fans, and then your number one grossing goes to Monsters vs. Aliens.
Yeah.
$215.9, so almost $216 million. I just kind of feel like that's kind of like a... Well, as an actor, you've made so many movies for so many years, movies that people love, that have created such followings, and yet the one that's just beat them all is Monsters vs. Aliens.
Easiest money she's ever made.
The one thing I've learned from doing this show, for as long as we're doing it, kids' animated movies have legs more than most live-action movies.
Mm-hmm.
Home has been in the top five for 2 months. Mm-hmm. It finally is out, but it's number 6 or 7. So I'm not surprised. And plus, this was right around that. And even though this wasn't a Pixar movie, this was a DreamWorks, but it was around that time where DreamWorks and Pixar were just doling out hits left and right. Mm-hmm. It was Kung Fu Panda, Shrek, any Pixar movie.
Anything.
And this thing came out just at the right time where every animated film coming out was just doing blockbuster money.
You know what? A lot of these people have to, when you do these top fives, it's always, if they do an animation voiceover, it's usually one or two, unless
money
they have a smash hit. Last week we did Scarlett Johansson, and we can't put the superhero movies in because it's just ridiculous. You know?
Easy money.
Kiefer Sutherland was in this movie.
But
Oh, that's right. You played the government guys.
He traveled with the rodeo circus in the late 90s.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to quit acting for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what happened? He wanted to star in Dallas Buyers Club, and they were going to give it to him. But he wanted the guy to, instead of AIDS, he wanted him to have scoliosis and leprosy. And they're like, no, we can't do that. This is a true story.
That's interesting. Back to the Reese Witherspoon themed list. Just know that we went through the whole thing. Monsters and Aliens, obviously one. It's also her most recent of of them on this list. Of the top five, 2009 was her most highest grossing.
I'm curious, Legally Blonde being such a big hit, part two didn't even make the list.
Not at all.
That's surprising.
These were movies that dropped off. They also didn't have as good of word of mouth.
Okay.
It's like versus when we're going to talk about Pitch Perfect and Pitch Perfect 2. Yeah. There's so much hype. I feel like I was in the, I feel like, target audience for Legally Blonde and for Legally Blonde 2, and there wasn't that desire to go see it. It was such a push-off until it comes to, at the time, like DVD movie. If you even saw it then, it didn't have any type of critical spunk around it.
Gotcha. Okay.
It was also like 5 years after the original or something like that.
Oh, yeah. It's never good when you wait that long.
Well, good job, right, Reese. Making lots of money. I'm pretty sure she's worth like $80 million.
Go watch Walk
Line. She's doing well.
I would have watched Dallas Buyers Club with Kiefer Sutherland in it.
That is not what our list is about.
Scoliosis and leprosy.
All right. Let's get into our upcoming films a little bit. We got a lot of fun stuff to talk about.
Yep.
First thing on the list, which is going to be great, I'm convinced, is going to be Mad Max Fury Road. I've been so excited for this for months. It is coming out, and it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, JT's taking me tomorrow.
Let me drop some truth on this microphone real quick.
Yeah.
Just don't drop the microphone.
Yeah, I won't. This is the best movie I've seen all year.
Oof, it's a big one.
It is a action masterpiece.
Great.
It is a pure adrenaline ride from beginning to end. And I can't wait to see this at least three more times.
Wow.
I really can't wait till we get to the predictions because I'm having trouble. I'm trying to think with my brain and not with my heart.
I agree.
Because my heart wants me to make this the number one movie of the weekend. And I can't wait for everyone to see it and just go, oh my God, this is awesome.
You're going to have to wait for the legs. You're going to have to wait for the legs of word of mouth.
That's the problem.
It's going to do great. We saw what Kingsman can do. We saw how long these movies can last. And I think Mad Max has that potential. But people are talking way more still about Avengers. They're talking more about even Pitch Perfect than they are Mad Max. I feel like there's people who are in love with it already that haven't gotten to see it, but that number hasn't been able to spread yet because, like, for instance, I can say I'm really excited for this movie, but no one's really going to listen to me until I see it and can confirm that it's good.
Well, the one thing I am happy about is this morning the embargo was lifted, and if you looked at Twitter or Facebook, the reviews are across the board phenomenal.
Yes.
Everyone's saying this is the best action movie in a decade and that it lives up to all the hype and beyond. So I'm really hoping that gives a little boost this week.
Yeah,
I can't say it will because usually that, you know, critics, honestly, you know, I love listening to critics. They don't always, they most time don't affect box office until after the movie comes out.
Okay, what are the chances that Mad Max can push out Avengers?
Here's the thing. How much do you think
0.0.
I'm going to save this.
I'm going to give it 20.
We're going to save this until predictions because I'm curious to hear what you guys think Avengers is going to make this week.
Yeah.
And how much do you think Mad Max? So, all right. So, listen, Mad Max, I have nothing else to say except for it's an amazing movie. I'm seeing it again tomorrow.
Charlize Theron auditioned for Elizabeth Berkley's part in Showgirls, but lost out to her. Now I would have. Wow. I mean, Elizabeth Berkley got a great body.
Yeah, she was good.
Seeing Charlize do that kind of stuff, that would have been pretty phenomenal.
Okay. Well, she is in this movie, so you can go see that.
She's not dancing in this movie, I'll tell you.
Pitch Perfect 2 is also coming out.
Oh, this is where I'm worried.
What?
Because the reviews are the opposite of Mad Max. The reviews have been not good to okay.
Yeah.
It is a sequel.
Yes.
But I don't know how many people really wanted a sequel to this movie in the first place. The first one opened decently.
Yeah, it was a big hit.
I just don't feel like there's any excitement.
No, the first one became a hit. It was not a box office smash.
No,
it became a hit. It not only... Mm-hmm. I don't even think the box office numbers for the first one are on point to the people who have seen this. The amount of people who saw this when it came out after theaters is probably three times as many. It only, total made $65 million?
Yeah.
It's definitely going to open better than the first one. It's going to be the Austin Powers effect. Austin Powers 1 did not do good in theaters, and 2 destroyed when it opened up because of the home video. my thing is the reviews, and the other thing I'm really torn about is the crowds for Pitch Perfect 2 Mad Max cannot be any different.
Well, no, this is the thing. This is my favorite thing about Pitch Perfect 2. When you go to like similar movies on Box Office Breakdown, I'm just going to read you like the top five, which is Magic Mike, XXL, Ted 2, Cinderella.
Okay.
Directly followed by 50 Shades of Grey.
Boom.
Directly followed by Into the Woods.
Okay.
Followed by Dumb and Dumber 2.
Ooh.
Exactly. So I read this and I went, so what genre are you in? Who are we talking? You literally put Cinderella next to 50 Shades of Grey. It's like, I was just like, I think they're just predicting, like, this is supposed to bring in the masses.
It's four quadrant.
It's PG-13.
Yep.
It's going to bring in teenagers.
Rookie director, too, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth Banks, who starred in the first one.
But she was in the first, and she was one of people's favorite things about the first. Mm-hmm. Also, since the first, we've had all of her people fall in love with her in Hunger Games.
Sure.
In that role, she really has hit this comedy stride.
Do you think it's a little played out, the whole a cappella Glee kind of thing?
Well, no, this lip sync show on VH1 is doing well. There's this,
but Glee's on its way out. Yeah, I mean, American Idol.
We just talked about American Idol just who has had so many seasons. Well, that's because that's crazy. You still have so many singing shows that get their weekly audiences and they just don't stop. A cappella, yes or no, like, singing in general brings in crowds, a certain crowd.
It's easier for a guy to convince his girlfriend to see a high-octane action movie than it is for a girl to convince a guy to go see this movie.
I don't know about Pitch Perfect. I know a lot of guys have seen it.
Some like it. Mark Riley hated it.
Yeah, he loves everything.
He loves everything. But, yeah, I don't know. It's going to be very close fight for probably the second spot between Mad Max and Pitch Perfect.
Pitch Perfect hits every demo.
No, it doesn't hit the guy.
They got an Asian chick, they got a white chick, they got a black chick, they got older chicks. Gotcha. I mean, they got everybody.
All right, well,
everyone that matters, according to Tom over there. All right, let's then talk. We've got two more to talk about. Absolution. Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal movie.
I can't wait for this one.
How many movies theaters is coming out in?
This is, I think it's like 17 theaters.
Okay, what's it about? I've heard nothing about this.
You know, he kills everybody.
There you go.
He's the best. Well, you know, there's a big Cheeto story about him. It's amazing.
Loves Cheetos?
Yeah, well, he was doing a movie. I think it was like the boat movie.
Under Siege.
Yeah, the second one.
I'm going to read you the IMDb
synopsis.
Little thing.
Yes,
when
please.
A contract killer, guess who that is?
He's a contract killer in every movie.
Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
Encounters a girl on the run from a mob boss.
Who's hot, probably. The girl's definitely hot.
Her name's Vinnie Jones.
Definitely hot.
With powerful political ties, he is torn between protecting the girl and remaining loyal to the government agency that hired him for the mission.
So, like, The Professional or any other movie.
No.
What's he weighing in on these days?
This is the most generic plot summary I've heard.
He's the best.
These IMDb should have his weight next to the his character.
You know, he broke Sean Connery's arm in when he was teaching him like jujitsu for one of the Bond movies.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't even know he taught.
He broke his arm.
I mean, Seagal is just so past his prime.
The Cheeto story.
What's the deal?
Basically, the producers were like, oh, we got to hire a personal trainer. Steven's like eating like a monster. Right? And they're like,
bring him in.
He has to lose like 60 pounds. They're like, all right, cool. The producers come in like 3 weeks before shooting. They're like, this guy's fatter than when he came in the first time. and the personal trainer's like, let me show you something. They go into like a weight room. And like on the bench press thing, the guy's like, look at this. And there was like Cheeto stains everywhere. And there was like a script full of Cheeto stains. And they're like, what is this stuff? They're like, he's got an addiction to Cheetos. The guy won't stop eating them.
Well, there's your story for the day. Interesting. All right. One more to talk about because we can pretty much have the exact same conversation we just had because we're getting a Jean-Claude Van Damme fic called Pound of Flesh.
It's a great movie.
I mean,
Pound of Flesh. Again, anything. That is the title.
Yeah, this was a tough one to find because there's a couple other movies called Pound of Flesh.
These movies should have been, the titles of these movies should have been changed. Steven Seagal and Pounds of Flesh.
Yes.
Van Damme's have been absolute
vodka.
Absolute vodka, yes.
Well, he is back.
What's this one about? Can we get synopsis for this one?
He's the muscles from Brussels.
It is about, I just had, let's find out. A man's heroic attempt to help a woman in distress ends with him waking up the next day without a kidney and plotting his revenge.
Oh, wow.
He loves fantastic. Revenge.
It's a kidney revenge movie.
That's fantastic. I'm going to watch that. Well, you know, Van Damme, he didn't know how to speak English. So he started watching a lot of Flintstone episodes.
Oh, really?
And that's how he learned how to speak English, through watching Flintstone. He actually wanted to play Barney Rubble in the live action movie.
This totally makes sense.
But they went with Rick Moranis because they're like, you know, Jean-Claude, just, like, you're too, like, just, muscle.
He has a movie, like, every year.
Oh, yeah.
So many.
That makes sense because the first four films that Van Damme's ever made, the leading actress's character's name was Wilma.
Yeah.
In all those movies.
See?
He was a big Flintstone guy. Because the only word he knew how to really say.
Huge Flintstone guy. He watched the Jetsons to Spacely Sprocket. This is one of his favorite guys.
Okay. So, okay. So many people can go out and see those. I will not be probably one of them.
Pound but of Flesh. I'd like to see a double feature. Pound
this
of Flesh.
This can get us into our predictions. If either of you put any of those movies in the top five, you're eliminated.
This is
going to
be an interesting one.
This is so
one,
tough
sweet.
For me. This is so tough for me.
Okay, let's go talk with about heart, our contenders.
To go with the heart or the head is the question.
JT, between us, won. He went 3 for 5. Yeah. Me and Roxy went 2 for 5. But Brian Fernandez went 5 for 5, and he'll be getting the Book of Eli Blu-ray. I think that's what
you'll
it
be
is.
Getting a Blu-ray.
Yeah, probably Book of Eli or no. I'm
he seems
the joyful
confused,
noise
so
ones.
I'm just going to go with Blu-ray.
Maybe Dolphin Tale 2. I'm not sure yet, but you'll be getting something, dude.
What
don't worry
a difference
about
in movie.
Yeah.
Do you have his contact information?
No, send it to JT on
message me.
Yeah, DM him.
Do that, or so
on
you can
Facebook.
Get some pre something.
Yes.
All right. Talking about predictions.
You
JT
to go first?
Seems to want to talk. I'm
I just
let you go first.
Roxy was the last one to do it last week.
Let me ask you guys
okay.
a quick question
before
we go into this.
You want to talk about how much things are
I
making?
I want to talk how much you think Avengers is going to make this weekend. It's made $70 million.
It dropped 60%.
Yes. How much do you think it'll drop off this weekend?
I think it makes 44.
44.
Yeah.
I think it's around there, too.
I think it's around 40, 45. The question is,
40,
can...
45?
40 to 45 million.
Okay.
The question is, can Mad Max break 40 million?
No.
With Avengers still out?
Nope.
That is the question I'm debating right now.
No, you're going to... I'm in your debate. It's not going to make that much money.
I
Mad Max is going to make, like... 20,
no,
25
no,
to 27.
No, no, it's at least 40 million.
No way.
This is what I'm going to say. I'm going to go with my mind here.
Okay.
I'm going to give Avengers number one, and I'm okay. going to say it's going to make $47 million.
Okay.
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 Mm-hmm.
No, I'm going to say 45, sorry. 45. $45 million for Avengers.
You sure?
Okay.
I think Mad Max will be number two.
Mm.
Right there around 40 million.
No way, it's not enough money to go around.
Listen, if 70 million can be made in one weekend, it could go around.
Okay.
I think, should I go like exact number? Yeah, I'm going to say 40 million for Mad Max.
Okay.
And Pitch Perfect, I will go 35 million at number three.
Ooh.
I'm just, you don't guys don't have to give numbers for all those. I'm just giving you
no, one, I will.
How my mind is breaking down. Avengers is going to be close to 45, could be a little closer to 50, depending on drop off, but I think it's going to be close in that area. I think Mad Max is going to beat Pitch Perfect by just a few million dollars.
Mm. Yeah, it's definitely
I think
fast.
Pitch Perfect will be three. Then after that, it's really... I mean, I don't even know where to go here.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's like
I mean,
all these
talking,
movies...
We're
made,
talking $2-3 million difference.
I guess I got to go number four, Hot Pursuit, just because it's...
Yep.
I don't know where else to go with there. And then I'll go number five, Paul Blart.
Why?
Just because I think Fast 7 is going to... All
Why?
The fast, all the Fast 7 crew is ditching town. Okay,
because yeah,
Mad Max is the exact
yeah.
same thing but better. Age of Adeline, it's got. I mean, look at the 3, 4, and 5 this week are all point something off.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
And I think Paul Blart is the difference. I mean, you're going to lose. Age is going to lose some money because of Pitch Perfect. So there you go. Avengers, Mad Max, okay. Pitch Perfect. Hot Pursuit, right. Paul Blart.
All right, watch.
Boom.
Okay. He rubs his hands together yeah. in a very devious fashion.
obviously, Avengers is number one.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say $44 million.
Okay. Right where I'm at, 45.
And I said it a couple of weeks ago on the main show. I think Pitch Perfect is going to beat Mad Max. I may be eating my words after I see it tomorrow, but as of right now, I think Pitch Perfect will come in at number two, probably somewhere around like $28 million. Okay. I think.
How much do you think Mad Max? You really think Mad Max make $20 million a year? Insane.
I think Mad Max is going to do like 25.
You're
it's gonna
insane.
Be dangerously close.
It's going to be close to 40.
I don't think so. I don't think it's there yet. I think you get a lot of fanboys, but you ain't going to get the chicks ain't going to come out to see this thing. It's too dark, and it's an R.
Yeah,
you know that.
I've seen the movie. Trust me,
$40 million openings on R's are very rare.
Trust me, it's an R.
I'm going, and I am a female.
Yeah, because you like Tom Hardy.
I actually like Charlize Theron, and this just looks like an interesting movie.
It's kind of the star of this movie. She's going
to
pull a lot of people.
I want Mad Max to make $100 million. Mel Gibson was at the premiere.
You saw that? Yeah.
I love that guy.
Okay. All right, so that's your top three. What's four and five? That's going to be difference makers.
Yeah, I mean, I got to stick with what I said. And then, you're going to see Hot Pursuit at, I don't know, hopefully zero, but it'll probably do about five.
Yeah,
drop
six,
off
seven or something.
Yeah.
And number five?
I think I'm going to go out on a limb and say Ex Machina.
Oh, wow.
I think Age of Adeline is going to be done because Hot Pursuit is the same kind of thing. And Ex Machina made 3.4. Paul Blart's got to get out of there. I mean, it has to.
I mean,
if everything's right with the universe. And Fast and Furious, I agree with you. Nobody's going to see that. And Age of Adeline, I hate anyway.
All right, let's go to Sarah.
Oh, gosh.
With the wisdom of traveling the world.
Yeah. This is difficult.
Yeah, she's back.
she's back. Number one.
What'd you buy in Europe?
I have to talk about what I'm
okay,
thinking.
Sorry.
So number one is...
I'm not going to... Shush. Let me think. I'm confused on how Pitch Perfect's going to do. I mean, they compared it to, like, Into the Woods. That's Anna Kendrick as well. That also has the whole Disney momentum.
Totally
that
different
made,
crowd.
That opened to 31.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's Disney, though.
Exactly.
This is not Disney.
No.
And then you have, I think that we're going to see a lot of parallels between Mad Max and Kingsman. And the word of mouth kicked in even more after Kingsman. And that opened to what, 38?
Mm-hmm. Less than that, I think.
This movie blows Kingsman out of the water, in my opinion.
Kingsman opened to 36.
Okay.
Rated
Kingsman
R.
opened to 36.
Rated R. Kingsman was a bigger thing, though.
Yeah, no way.
No, I feel like Kingsman and
Mad Max are actually a franchise. It's actually a name product. People forget that.
I could be wrong. I mean, I could be. Hey,
you could be.
I could be.
All right, sorry, Sarah. Go ahead.
I'm going to stick with one, Avengers, blah, blah, blah. Two, I'm going to agree with you. I think it's going to Mad Max.
Come to the Mad Max side.
I completely am on that side. I hope that we are right and he doesn't get to say that he is right because I'm going to be so annoyed if he's right.
Number three.
Number three, Pitch Perfect. Number four. No, these movies suck. Hot Pursuit. Yeah. It just has to. Mm-hmm. And
your buddy Paul Blart.
I will not put that in this list.
Okay.
I didn't want to put that list in the list the first weekend it opened out of principle. Gosh, I hope I never meet anyone who made that movie because
it's
not going to go over well.
Yeah.
And then number five, I'm between Age of Adeline and Ex Machina. I'm going to give it to Age of Adeline. I'm still hearing girls talk about it and telling people to see it.
Roxy kind of recommended it last week.
Yeah, well, Roxy's like, she likes crying.
Yeah, she loved Fault in Our Stars.
Yeah, she cried.
Oh, she did.
I looked at her.
But yeah,
so
I'll give it to Hot Pursuit and then Age of Adeline. That's going to be my top five.
Wow. It's going to be very interesting.
So it's really the top three and then everything else.
You better be right.
I honestly think...
I'm just going out on a limb. I like to take chances, you know?
You just want to be different.
No, I just go by my motto. Show me somebody who doesn't take a chance and I'll show
you a loser. We have to leave in 2 minutes. So if we have any callers that are in right now, we can take like one, maybe two people, and you got
to
be quick with your predictions.
Top five, yeah.
Because we are going to get kicked out of studio way too soon.
Yeah.
But
he's bringing it up.
It's being brought up. We totally sprung out on our engineer.
One real quick story about your trip in Europe? Like, What was the one awesome thing?
Did you get hit on by a lot of guys out there?
Yeah, how many guys hit on me?
This is the most surprising thing. I'm going to stick with the interesting fact story. Yeah. Was that when I was in, I went to Croatia. I was walking around, and I had known that Game of Thrones was filmed a little bit there. It's also filmed in a bunch of countries in
Iceland
Europe.
And stuff.
But Croatia, of all places, has Game of Thrones walking tours.
Hmm. What?
And some of their cities.
That's awesome.
Where they, like, take you to some of the sets and whatnot.
That's cool.
But I was just like, I feel like you expect that. Like, I was in London, and they have all, like, they have Harry Potter World, and you go through the studios, and you kind of almost expect those there, but I feel like when you go to Croatia, you expect the beach and castles.
Sure.
You don't expect to see, like, popular culture walking tours.
Yeah, well, that's what it is now, because look at all the theaters. I mean, you can tell by what they're doing at the theaters. International's killing.
It's crazy.
Domestic.
And so when Game of Thrones, the movie, comes out, we'll be talking about it a lot on this show.
Whenever that comes out.
Are you a big Game of Thrones fan?
I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan.
Oh, that's right. You do the podcast. What am I thinking?
She wanted to build the Game of Thrones.
That's right.
Antarctica.
Antarctica.
You need to think about these things.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
No. But I was walking around Croatia, and there was like... I was walking around Croatia, and there was just all these people in, like, Game of Thrones clothing. Not, like Stark t-shirts.
Is Peter Dinklage there?
I didn't see him.
No. He's easy to spot.
He's awesome, though. I guess our calls aren't working because I'm just seeing, like, the loading sign for forever.
I think we're almost there. If we don't get it in another minute or two, it's going to be sorry for everybody.
Sorry.
Because I really want to hear
We want to be selfish and we want to win.
I want to hear what people say about Pitch Perfect because I think it's going to be really tight. You know, Mark Ellis agreed with me.
What did he say?
He said Pitch Perfect could beat Mad Max.
I mean, it could.
Yeah.
I just...
Anything could happen.
I think that one of the good things about Pitch Perfect is you can convince, as you said, your significant other to go.
Here we go.
Oh, hello.
Let's finally got some calls on here. Welcome to Box Office Breakdown. Who do we got?
Brian in Miami, who predicted last week 5 for 5.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Yeah,
round of applause for you.
Make sure you send JT your information. We'll send you something out.
Alrighty, got
it. Quick question, though. Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You got it. It's a quick question. No top five for you because you won last week.
Okay. Oh, damn it.
Unless you want to just spit it out, but you're not
you
in the running.
You can tell us for fun if you want. We won't send you anything this week. Sorry. Yeah. We're mean.
Yeah, it's all right. But at least, you know, question-wise, if Avengers does get number one, you know, do you think it's going to be a battle between Mad Max and a Pitch Perfect 2 for the number 2 and number 3 seed?
100%.
It's gonna be a really good counterpoint right there to Mad Max and Avengers. Mm-hmm. And also, just as a side note, I'm gonna put Furious 7 there at number 5.
But it's gonna be
counter programming everything. You know, with Pitch Perfect 2 and Hot Pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
It could be.
It's going to be a battle there between the.
I mean, according to JTE, I mean,
you know,
Max can possibly beat Ultron.
I mean,
he's got the numbers within $1 million or $2 million.
It's like $5 million, but
yeah.
I think there's a small chance. I might be hopeful thinking, listen, if that happens, I am going to be ecstatic.
It'll be a huge blow to Avengers.
We will play the Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome Tina Turner music video for an hour straight on the show.
Yeah.
Our show isn't now.
That is a great song. Well, thanks, Brian. We'll send you that stuff.
All righty.
Thanks, dude.
Poof. Thanks, man.
All right, poof. Yep.
One more quick call.
One more, and then get the top five. This guy will be up for the running.
Thanks for calling Box Office Breakdown. Who do we got?
Hey, this is Dylan.
Oh,
of course
nice.
It is.
Hey, Dylan, what up?
Hey, buddy. Thank you so much for helping us run the Facebook Box Office page.
Yeah, we really appreciate
Killing
that.
Killing it.
No problem, man.
Can you do this? Is that something you can do to check to see who's winning the top five?
Yeah. I'll run back through all the episodes. And,
that's great. Since the first one. That'll be fantastic, dude.
I'm going to lose, so I think you should just give me some extra points for fun.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm fine with cheating. It's okay.
We got to get Dylan's top five.
I'll give you an extra point if you wear the Dead Booty Dough shirt.
Ooh, yeah. Yes.
I will, too.
I'll steal everyone's points that wear the shirt.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Nobody will ever talk if you wear that. We need to get words out.
All right, Dylan, you haven't given us your top five in a while, so let's hear it.
Let's hear it.
I got... Actually, Pitch Perfect 2, number 1.
Wow.
What?
Drop the mic.
It's going to get a little crazier, because then I got Mad Max and then Avengers.
Wow.
Okay.
I,
I respect that, man. You're taking a big chance.
That'd be
Avengers
very cool.
Avengers would have to only drop like 40% to make 45.
That's true.
That's true.
So that's where I'm going. I got to drop it
at like probably like 50-52%, mm-hmm. which would put it closer to like the 37 million.
Wow. That's big. Hmm. I mean, hey, you might be right.
He might. I'm not going to say you're wrong on this one, actually. I think that you totally could be. It just depends on that teen audience and how much of them are going to be repeat watchers of Avengers and how many of them are going to want to break off and watch Pitch Perfect.
I think those repeat Avenger watches are done.
Is Pitch Perfect PG-13?
No.
Pitch Perfect 2.
Yeah.
Pitch Perfect 2.
That's the only
PG-13.
Thing I'm worried about is people buying tickets for Pitch Perfect or Avengers and sneaking into Mad Max.
That's a possibility.
That's the only thing I'm worried about.
Yeah, see? That's why that's what I took into consideration.
Yeah, he did just now.
Yeah.
all right, so you got 1, 2, and 3, which is a crazy lineup.
Yeah.
What do you got for 4? What do you got for 4 and 5?
And then just Hot Pursuit, and then
Unfriended.
Probably Age of Adeline.
Oh, Age of Adeline.
Just because Furious 7 is, they're going to drop a whole bunch of theaters. Yeah. So.
That's true, too.
If you win this
week. Probably going to drop 1,000 theaters, maybe more.
If you win this week, man. Yeah. Legendary.
Yeah, it's legendary win.
I don't feel like the question is what Avengers is going to make, or even as much what Mad Max is going to make. It's what Pitch Perfect is going to make.
That's the wild card.
That's the question.
It's the wild card.
Like I always said, I feel like I have my finger to the pulse of the people. I just don't feel the hype for Pitch Perfect 2 out there. I don't feel like people are talking about it. Mad Max, everyone is talking about.
Okay.
Avengers is still going to do good, but I have Mad Max number 2 only by a few million. If it was number 1.
Yeah, no. Hey, we'll see.
I'm so curious to see
what
happens.
This is going to be a really fun weekend.
It is going to be really fun. Great.
Thanks for the call, man. Thanks for that stuff. Thanks for all
the
work.
You're the best, man.
All right, guys. We are so over time. I'm so sorry.
The pit boss is going to kill us.
Yeah, we're going to get in so much trouble, but it was great to be back. I guess they can maybe blame this one on me. Welcome back to Popcorn Talk Network. Join us next week for Box Office Breakdown. We are going to have so much to talk about.
Yes.
And we've got Twitters.
Yeah, @SchmoesJTE on Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm all over the place.
It's a mouthful.
At PopInsta. Twitter.
Yeah, and then we also have like Facebooks and YouTube.
Yeah, we're doing well on the likes.
You need to subscribe and like and please help us so that now I can say we went over because we were asking for so many likes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's my excuse.
And Dylan, you know, thanks again for running Facebook.
Yeah, it's good
what
stuff.
What a great fan.
Yep, good stuff, guys.
All right, bye, guys.
Keep watching those movies, especially Mad Max.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.